You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Well, that's the good news that our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, is going to share as he begins our study in the New Testament book of Titus, beginning in chapter 2. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host on this five-year journey through God's entire Word, and I'm so excited to get started as our study is packed with what's really some practical truth for us as a church and for each of us individually. Now, throughout these pastoral epistles, or letters, Paul has been giving guidance and encouragement to young pastors. A few months ago, we looked at his letters to Timothy, and next time, we'll be finishing up with this letter to Titus. Through the centuries, the instructions given to Timothy and Titus have provided important guidelines for local churches. Now, as you can probably tell, after serving as a pastor for more than 40 years, Dr. McGee had a very warm spot in his heart for local churches and the pastors that serve. So as we begin our study, I want to share a few letters from pastors who travel with us on the Bible bus. The first one comes from Myanmar. I am a pastor and would like to receive more of your SD cards and players. I take them to new believers who cannot attend church every week due to distance and many difficult situations in Burma. I thank God that your program is a convenient tool and is always ready to reveal the truth in the Word. It is like a Bible teacher and keeps their faith alive in God's ways and builds them up in Christ every day. Next, we got a letter from a pastor in Bangladesh. I praise the Lord for your home groups and the material you provide. As a pastor, many times I could not understand the Bible verses properly. Now the systematic Bible lessons help me understand the Word of God better. So I make my sermons by getting help from the media kit lessons and teaching the Word of God to my church members through this systematic Bible study. We listen every day and receive God's blessings every day. Here's one. This one's from Venezuela. I was raised on your program and have listened for many decades. I'm now a pastor of a small church in Venezuela. I listen to the program every night with my wife, currently in the study of the Epistle of James. And of course, we pray for you to continue advancing beyond the countries where Through the Bible is heard. Thank you for the teaching and for feeding my family so that we can share God's Word with others. Our last letter comes from Dave. He's in the U.S. Hello, Bible Bus family. I'm so thankful to be a part of this ministry. I began my journey on the Bible bus in 1996 in my basement listening to Bot Radio. I soon joined up with a solid Bible teaching ministry and began a journey that eventually led to being ordained as a senior pastor of a small church in Cherokee, Iowa. I've since retired. As I look back, at times I wish that I had stayed in that basement for at least two trips on the Bible bus before starting to preach. Dr. McGee's teaching has fine-tuned my theology many times since. I'm in the book of Proverbs now and finally see Jesus as wisdom and wisdom personified as a woman. What an eye-opener. I have been on the World Prayer Team for 3 years now and every month provide gas for the tank. I love hosting a Facebook group sharing Through the Bible content daily to over 600 members. Wow, Dave, thanks so much for doing that, by the way. And God has certainly been faithful as we fling the word out there. Please send me two 10-packs of the Bible bus passes so I can fling them out there, too. God bless you for your faithfulness to Dr. McGee's vision of taking the whole word to the whole world. Well, thanks, Dave. Thanks for your support and for your faithfulness to God's word. And you really do inspire us. Aren't those great letters? Well, as we begin our study, let's pray for these pastors and all those around the world who have dedicated their lives to nurturing our local churches and teaching God's word faithfully. Father, would you bless those who preach your word? Give them courage to stand firm in the truth of the scriptures and encourage and strengthen them as they serve you with their lives. Bless each one of them and their families. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're off to Titus chapter 2 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come to this second chapter of Titus. Now, the first chapter had to do of setting things in order in the church. Church should be an orderly church. And now in this chapter, the church is to teach and preach the Word of God. Because you understand that the elders that he was to ordain, they were to do, you remember, two things. They were to exhort, and then they were to refute or confute the heretics. Well, you can't spend all your ministry just refuting everybody, and yet there are many men that have what I would call a negative ministry. All they do is make an attack upon the enemies of the gospel, and that probably is needed. But I believe that we all need a balanced ministry, and I think Paul makes that clear here in this first chapter. He tells how the mouth of the heretic must be stopped, and an officer ought to know enough about the Word of God to answer him, as Peter put it, to be able to give a reason for the hope that's in you. Now, in chapter 2, the emphasis is put upon the teaching of the Word of God. Now, will you listen? Verse 1, chapter 2 of Titus, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." That's important. And sound doctrine, the thing we called attention to before, is the doctrine of the apostles. And the early church continued, number one, in the apostles' doctrine. That's the things that are taught to us in these epistles here. Now, it's very practical. We have here, first of all, he has a message for the senior citizens. First, the senior citizen who's male, then the senior citizen who's female. And here we have that the aged man be sober-minded, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. They're to be sound in their love and in patience. Now, this is something that we need to recognize. They are to be sober, that is, very vigilant, very serious, men that can be respected and self-controlled. These are the things that are mentioned here. And now for the aged women. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now, they should be reverent in their behavior, not gossips or drunkards, and they are to teach the young women here. Verse 4 of chapter 2 of Titus, that they may teach the young women to be sober-minded, to love their husbands, to love their children, and they are to be an example to them, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, there are several things here. Keepers at home mean they're to be workers at home. Now, I'm going to get in trouble here, but I have to say this. A wife's first responsibility is in her home. And we need to recognize that the home's not a playpen. It's a pretty serious sort of a business to be a wife and to have children in the home. And it's not something that you're to take lightly. And therefore, there's an emphasis placed here. Now, I'm confident that Paul would never have approved of the women's lib movement. Now, again, here I go, sticking my neck out. But after all, they say fools rush in where angels fear to tread. I'm opposed to it. I think it's wrong. I think a woman wants to be treated like a woman, not like a man. The primary business, the biggest business in the world is the home. And that is the thing that he's talking about here. Now, I'll get letters on this, but I don't mind. I love to read them, friends, good or bad. Now, will you notice? They are to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, and good means kindly, be kind, and obedient to their husbands, and I'm going to have to say a word about that. Actually, this word obedient here, and I have traced this down, by the way, pretty well, and I'd like for you to know that the idea here is being those that respond to their husband. Now, this is the same word that Paul used over in Romans, the 8th chapter. Over there, he speaks about obedience, and we've translated it obedience there. But I think we need to understand what it means. And it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Now, the thought there is this, that the natural man cannot respond respond to God. He can't obey God because he has no way of responding to God. Now, a wife is to respond to her husband, and that's the thought that is here. She's the responder, and man is the aggressor. No woman, in my book, should go to a husband and say, I love you, until he says, I love you. This big red-faced fella that came in to see me, great big brawny fella, he said, I want you to talk to my wife, and I want you to tell her to obey me. Well, I said, brother, I'm not going to tell her anything of the kind. He says, why? Well, I said, I'd like to ask you a question. I said, when's the last time that you told her that you loved her? Well, he says, I don't know. What's that got to do with it? I said, that has everything to do with it. I said, until you tell her that you love her, I don't see why she should respond to you. Didn't you tell her first that you loved her when you were courting? He says, of course I did. Well, I said, just keep that up, boy. I said, the thing to do, just keep up a courtship. You just keep telling her that you love her, and then she can tell you that she loves you. And I think that she'll respond to you a great deal better than she is. My, what an admission that poor boy made. Now, let me move down, because this is quite wonderful, as you can understand. Now he says here, young men. Now he's turning to the young men and young women. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Now, you see, this young preacher, Titus, he was young. Now, Paul says, you be a pattern for the other young man in doctrine, showing uncorruptness. And I think that word uncorruptness is quite an interesting word here. It has in it the thought that they have no lack of faith. It's not faithlessness. And I just made a new word, by the way, and I'm sorry I did it. But that's the thought here. And in doctrine showing uncorruptness, no lack of faith, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. In other words, let your conversation reveal what kind of person that you are. Exhort servants. Now, he turns to another group, and in the early church, there were many slaves. In fact, in the catacombs, 90% of those names are the names of slaves or ex-slaves. That's where the gospel met a great need in those early days, you see. And he says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. Again, respond to them. Be interested in their business and their work. Anyone, especially in Christian work, if he doesn't put his heart in it, he ought to get out of it. That's my idea. You don't work in Christian organizations to make a living. You work in Christian organizations because you want to work in it, and I hope you get a good living out of it. I don't mind that. That's not the point. The point is, the Christian work is to be done with a heart as well as with a head and the hand. That's important. Now it says here, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not talking back to them, not purloining, that is, not stealing from them. I have statistics somewhere of how many millions of dollars that businesses lose today because employees steal from them. Not purloining, don't be a thief, but showing all good fidelity, that is faithfulness, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Now, this word for adorn is the word we get our word cosmetics from. And now here's a question that comes every now and then. Do you think a woman ought to use makeup? Yes, this kind of makeup, plenty of it, by the way. Adorn the doctrine of God. In other words, you say you're sound in the faith, then put on the cosmetics. I'd like to see a little of the lipstick of a kind tongue. That's a mighty fine lipstick, and it's a new lipstick, by the way. Speak kindly. And then powder on the face, and that means sincerity and reality. My, there are all kinds of cosmetics that you can use today as a Christian, and I sure do like to see Christians using a whole lot of these cosmetics that Paul's talking about here. Now Paul stops in order to put a foundation in under the lives of these people. And he now states the gospel. And the gospel is in three time zones, the past, the present, and the future. I know that many times I fly to Dallas, Texas, and then back here. And I still, though, have a horse and buggy mental chassis. And I never cease today to wonder at the speed of travel today by jet. I get on the plane there at Love Field in Dallas. I did on a cold, blustery day. A norther was coming in. Mercury was hovering at zero. And in a little more than an hour, I dropped right down into the salubrious climate of Southern California, as well as the smog. But you say, well, how'd you do that in an hour? Well, it was because there are three time zones. That was Central Standard Time, and that was Mountain Standard Time, that was Pacific Standard Time. And therefore, it really took, at that time, almost 4 hours, but at least 3 hours. And they're going to get this thing down. But as wonderful as it is, I think the most wonderful thing in the world is the grace of God. And it's in three time zones. It's in the first time zone that's here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's past. And then we're told here, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's the present time zone of grace. And then you have the third time zone. That's a future looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. These are the three time zones of grace. And we have here grace in three time zones. Now, will you notice that? We have here for the grace of God. Paul says, now just a minute. He says, I want to put down under you, Cretans, because you need a foundation. I want to put down under you the doctrine of the grace of God. Now, the grace of God here is the way God saves us. And the gospel is not good advice. Years ago, a great preacher in Shreveport, Louisiana, Dr. Dodd, I heard him say, the pulpit, my pulpit is the place for good news. My study is the place for good advice. The gospel's not good advice. It's good news. And it's more than good news. It's the power of God unto salvation. Now, Paul is enjoining Titus to demand of the Cretans that they live lives that adorn the gospel, for it's the power of God, you see. And there's absolutely no excuse for any Christian to live a life of defeat and failure. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The word here is, it shined forth. It's the epiphany. It's when he came 1900 years ago, and the gospel is what he did for us. He died for us. And God, therefore, doesn't save us by love, and he doesn't save us by mercy. By grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Now, mercy is the compassion of God that prompted him to send a Savior to man. And God loved man, but you see, God didn't save by love. If one man could be saved by the mercy of God, all mankind would be. It wouldn't be necessary for Christ to die. You could circumvent the cross. But you see, love is the divine motive. But God's not only love, he's righteous, holy, just. And the holy demands of God had to be met. His just claims, his righteous standards must be met. And love may long to save, but the immutable law of justice makes love powerless to do so. And so Christ, by dying for your sins, he met the holy demands of justice, and God can now save you by grace. How wonderful it is we can be saved by the grace of God. When we were guilty, Christ paid the penalty, and grace is not complicated or implicated with human effort. God doesn't ask your cooperation to save you. He doesn't ask for your conduct or your character. God only asks men to believe him, to trust him, to accept Christ, to take his way. And God's way is the best way, and it's the only way. And then you have the grace of God teaching us that denying. And God's not trying to reform this world. He's redeeming men who will accept Christ. And the gospel doesn't appeal to Christ's rejected men to do better. I'm going to try and do better. When you say that, I think you're a liar. I didn't say that. John said that. And now if you've rejected Jesus Christ, try and get all you can out of this life, because that's all you're going to get. The government is asking people today to give up cigarettes. They want to educate you. God's not asking you to do these things. God says eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you'll die. You can smoke your cigarettes for tomorrow. You're going to die of cancer, and they'll put you in a flip-top box. May I say to you, God is calling those who are his own, who are redeemed, to live for him. Teaching, that means child training, educating them to avoid worldly lusts. And then this wonderful thing we've talked about so much before, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the blessed hope. And that is the next happening in the program of God, is his coming to take his church out of this world. And this reveals that Paul taught the deity of Christ, and I believe it means here of the great God. And he's also our Savior. And who is he? He's Jesus Christ, my friend. What did he do? He gave himself for us that he might redeem us, paid a price for us, that he might redeem us not just out of sin, that's true, but redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a people of his own, zealous of good works. Sure, God wants you to live for him, and sure, God wants good works, but he'll have to redeem you first, friends. Now Paul says, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. You're a young man. Don't let them despise you because of the life you live. Friends, this is quite wonderful, is it not? Every young preacher ought to study Titus. Now, we'll leave off there and pick up a chapter 3 tomorrow, my beloved. Until then, may God richly bless you.
What a study. If these messages in Titus are making a difference in your life, then we would love to hear from you. Please send your email to BibleBus@ttb.org or mail your letter to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. Or in Canada, write to Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. And remember, you can also call and leave a message anytime at 1-800-65-BIBLE. And when you're in touch, tell us how God's working in your life. It would be such an encouragement for us both, you in the telling and us in the hearing, so don't wait, write or call us today. And if you know a pastor who would maybe benefit from our study, here are a couple of ways that you can share it with them. The first is to purchase our Bible Bus flash drive that contains all of Dr. McGee's five-year messages, more than 100 of his digital booklets, and all of his notes and outlines for these studies. It's a useful resource for any pastor or church leader or believer to have at their fingertips. If you want to order it, just call 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org. Another great way to share these studies is by downloading our free Bible Companion for Titus. Each of the three lessons summarizes Dr. McGee's teaching, and it includes a link to the section of God's Word that we're studying, and then prompts us to listen to Dr. McGee's full teaching on that passage. Oh, and there are even some great discussion questions for you to consider. Again, download your free copy or grab the link to share with a friend at ttb.org. And while you're there, be sure to check out the great resources that we got available to help you grow in God's Word. One that I'd highly recommend is our monthly ministry newsletter. You can visit ttb.org to download this month's issue for great information on studying Titus and Philemon. You can always call us, 1-800-65-BIBLE is the number to get on our mailing list or get future issues. And you don't just need to take my word for it. Fabian in Texas is a real fan of the newsletter, and he sent this as a note. My wife Veronica and I have been riding the Bible Bus for about 4.5 years, and by his will, we will have completed our first full trip this fall. We listen to all the available programs each week through the TTB app and pray along with the World Prayer Team. Having Steve and Greg introduce us to the program each day is a blessing, and we love hearing the letters from other places all around the world and the efforts to share the good news. I wanted you to know I really like the newsletter. It makes me super excited for each of the upcoming studies. I've been fortunate to share this program with a group of men I work out with called F3, that stands for Fitness, Fellowship, and Faith. I'm a big proponent of the third F and lead several efforts each week focusing on things larger than ourselves, which of course brings us to our Savior, King, and Lord, Jesus Christ. Both my wife and I are making more efforts to share the gospel and Dr. McGee's teaching, so please send us a good amount of Bible bus passes that we can hand out as we engage with our neighbors and our community. Well, if you want to join Fabian in his effort to share the whole word with the whole world, you can sign up for the newsletter or receive a pack of Bible bus passes that Fabian mentioned by calling 1-800-65-BIBLE. And then join us next time for another great adventure in God's Word. I'm Steve Schwetz, and we're grateful for your company on the Bible bus as we share this journey together.
Jesus came home, unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, whom God uses to take the whole word the whole world.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Well, look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all honor and praise. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and I thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. We also have a Wednesday night prayer and Bible study, and that's at 7:30 p.m., and that telephone number is 732-434-2231. I repeat the number, 732-434-2231. Our church service starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. So now, stay tuned to the broadcast.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you out there in Radio Land, what a mighty, mighty service that we had Sunday. Glory to God. I tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit was so evident there. And I tell you, there was a lot of people just glorifying God and thanking him for everything that he's done for them during the course of the week. And I want to tell you today that he's right there where you are. If you love him and want to give your heart to him, he can do this very same thing that we experience on Sunday. Praise God. Don't forget, we're the church in the city with the city in his heart. Praise God. We love you. We thank the Lord for the opportunity that we can just come into your homes and speak the truth of God's word, because the Bible tells us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will abide forever. So if you keep your mind and heart on the word of God, the Lord will bless you. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Pray for our radio listeners and faith partners out there in Radio Land. We ask your blessings to be upon them each and every minute of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, we're talking about salvation. Praise God. We want to tell you that the Lord loves you. He's soon to come back. And I've been led, praise God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that there are many people out there that have tuned into this broadcast from here and there. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we want to do by the grace of God is to tell you that you don't have to be in a church building to get saved. Right where you are, you can get on your knees and tell the Lord Jesus Christ your problem, and he's the problem solver. And he will bring forth deliverance in your life, give you eternal life. That way, everything will be according to his plan. Praise God. Well, let's look at what the word of God says here today, because the God that we serve is a good God. He's the best. There's none like him throughout this earth. We want to praise him and thank him for everything, because apart from him, we can do nothing, nor do we have anything of any great significance, because he and he alone deserves all the honor and the glory. Praise God.
Amen.
All the honor and the glory. We lift him up. He is the ascended Lord and the risen Savior. And I want to tell you out there in Radio Land that he loves you so much until he went to the cross of Calvary for all of your sins, sicknesses, griefs and sorrow, shortcomings, whatever the problem may be, he took it and nailed it to his cross so that you would have the opportunity to have eternal life, providing that you believe and trust in him. Praise God. In St. John 1 and verse 12, Jesus speaking to John, it says that for as many as received him, see, you have to receive him. You have to open up your heart and ask him to come in. He will not go against your will. He created us all as free moral agencies. And we have the choice if we want to have eternal life by allowing the Lord Jesus Christ come into our lives. So the word tells us there, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, or sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Praise God. Do you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do you believe that he is the Son of God and that he died for your sins? If you do, praise God, ask him to come into your heart. He loves you and he wants to save you. It was a divine purpose of him coming into this world to deliver mankind back unto the Father. Minister Gloria, the scriptures tells us all that the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his love and the thing that he's done for us all, that if we truly believe and trust in him, we can have eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start after you die. You have eternal life now if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. What does it say in St. John 3 there in verse 16? Praise God. Isn't it wonderful? Because when we believe what the Word of God is saying, glory to God, that God loves us so much. It was a divine purpose that he came into this world.
Amen.
It's not that he came because he didn't have anything else to do in heaven. He came because all humanity was lost. The world was full of sin. Yes. And still a lot of sin is going on. But if you believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Yes. Amen. Mm-hmm. So
in John,
yes,
3:16 says, for God so loved the world,
yes,
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Isn't that wonderful? This is why the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that will give you eternal life, providing that you would believe and trust in him. Praise God. And I want to tell you today that it's not about just going into some church building and singing songs and clapping your hands and listening to a three-point message. It's more than that. God loves you so much that he came and he took your place there on the cross of Calvary. Glory to God. He took your place there on Calvary's cross, suffered sickness and disease and grief and sorrows. He went through all of that so that you would have a right to the tree of life. Jesus is symbolic of the tree of life because in him is life. And if you have him today, you have eternal life. Praise God. Praise God. So God sent his Son in the world. He did that so that you and I would have the right to be saved. Praise God. You know, Jesus didn't come here to condemn this world. And Minister Glory, would you read the 17th verse there? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus didn't come here to condemn us. We already were condemned. We didn't even know the Lord Jesus Christ. But providing that when we begin to understand and receive him, listen to what he said in the 17th verse.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
That the world through him might be saved. See, now, I want to tell you something. Now, you see, Buddha cannot save you. And there are a lot of folks that they're religious and they put their trust in Buddha. But I want to tell you today that the bones of Buddha is still in the grave. You see, but the one that I'm talking about today, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his bones are not in the grave. He is risen, praise God. And even with Hare Hare Krishna, the Indian God, let me tell you something. All these things that man has concocted and say, well, that's my God. Well, I tell you, the God that I serve, he's holy and he's righteous, and he never put the burden on me. He took the burden for me, praise God. You see, Hare Hare Krishna, bones are still in the grave. Oh, I want to tell you today, if you're listening to what I'm saying, his bones are still in the grave. You got even Muhammad, Mustafa Muhammad, bones are still in the grave. You see, all those immortal men that cannot give you eternal life. But the one that I'm speaking about today, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he is eternal life. He is salvation. Glory to God. And I tell you that he didn't come in this world to condemn the world, only for the world to be saved, that the world might be saved through him. Do you want eternal life? It is a choice of your own. No one can force you. Jesus, he loves you, but he won't go against your will. He loved you so much until he would wait until you invite him in. Minister Glory, we were talking about a while back there, that in Revelation 3 and verse 20, when Jesus, it was saying that Jesus, he stands at the door. Right. And we're talking today about salvation. Mm-hmm. Because time is almost up. It's almost over. And that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back.
Coming back.
And when he comes back, I pray to God that you would be right with him. You would bear his name, have the authority that's been given to us through his name, and thank him for everything that he's done. Minister Glory, would you read Revelation 3 and verse 20? Praise God.
It says, behold, it says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If, to qualify him, any man hear my voice and open the door of your heart, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me.
Isn't that wonderful? Mr. Glory, you know, he will not knock the door down.
No.
This is why it's so important that whatever problems that we may be going through, or you out there in Radio Land, if you're going through, extend the invitation to the one that makes the difference. The one that can change the total scenario. And his name is Jesus.
Yes.
You see, the door that he's standing behind is the door of your heart. Every one of us have the opportunity, praise God. And from that's figurative language. But the most important thing is that the door that he's standing behind or in front of, it has no doorknob. We often look at a door with doorknobs on the inside and on the outside. Well, the door, he doesn't have a doorknob that he can turn that knob and come in. The doorknob is on the inside of the heart of the believer, or the one that's listening to what Jesus is talking about. So you're the only one that's able to open up that door, because he will never go against your will. If he knocked the door down and come in, then that means that he would go against your will and violate your free moral agency. But he doesn't do that. He waits for you to extend an invitation.
Amen.
Praise God. When you extend the invitation by opening up the door and allowing him to come in, because once the door is open,
yes,
then he is able to come in.
That's right.
And sup with you. Mm-hmm. And you with him.
Amen.
That's very powerful.
Yes.
That's why if you have problems out there in Radio Land today, regardless of the circumstances or the problems that you have, if you invite the Lord Jesus Christ into the situation, that's going on in your life, he will come in and change that situation, providing that you open up the door of your heart. Isn't that wonderful, Minister Glory?
Wonderful.
You know, and the whole idea is that he's concerned about everybody.
Everybody.
No matter what problems you may have, he's concerned about it. A lot of folks say, well, it's too minute. I won't talk to God about it. Yes, speak to him, because what happened is that there's nothing too small for him to be concerned about. He's concerned about everything.
Yes.
That's why he came into this world, to bring deliverance to all of our lives. Minister Glory, you have something you want
to
share?
And that's to everyone. This invitation to everyone.
Glory to God.
Not just the righteous. It's to everyone that believe on his name.
Amen. Praise God. Well, the scripture tells us that it's not just for us.
No.
And we cannot boast because we're born again and we have received the Lord Jesus Christ. No, there may be people out there that are in the same situation and conditions that we were in prior to our conversion.
Praise the Lord.
This is why we look back and we throw the life raft out to those that are out there that are sinking.
Yes.
You don't have to sink. You don't have to be in the condition that you're in. Turn your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will bring deliverance in your life. He will do just that. Praise the wonderful name of our God.
Jesus Christ.
You know, Minister Glory, was looking at the word where it tells us in Colossians 1, where he says that he has delivered us.
All right.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Delivered us from the power of darkness.
Yes.
Folks don't have to stay in darkness.
Nope.
They don't have to live the life that are contrary to the word of God. Jesus came to bring deliverance. He came to save you. The scripture tells us that. Mm-hmm. Do you believe what the word of God is saying?
Amen.
That he came to save you. Mm-hmm. You know, in Galatians 4, verse 4,
yes.
Minister Glory, you know, that's a very prominent verse of scripture there that's, is good for us all, because there was a time when Jesus came. He didn't just come on his own. And there's going to be another time when he comes. The Father's going to send him to get his children.
Amen.
Praise God. And I pray to God that everybody out there in Radio Land, and even if you don't know him, you get yourself right with God and be one of his children. Praise God. You know, in Galatians 4, you want to read that?
And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman.
Yes.
Made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's
praise
wonderful.
God. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, woohoo, glory, Abba, Father.
We can call him daddy. We can call him daddy because we belong to him. But those out there in Radio Land, there that you can't call him daddy, because you're not one of his children, but you can be. God is no respecter of person, and like I said, he loves you. Praise God. The scripture tells us that. The word of God tells us that. And when we abide in the word of God and believe what it says, you know, you may not be part of a church affiliation. You may be, maybe you don't even go to church. But I want to tell you, he still loves you, and he's given you the opportunity to hear the word of God so that you can make the decision to give your heart to him.
Amen.
You know, Minister Glory, it's not his will anyway that any perish.
Nope.
Isn't that something? God doesn't want you to perish.
Nope. He wants all to come to repentance.
Amen. Hallelujah. In him is life.
Yes.
And this is why he wants you to have eternal life. Praise God.
Yes.
And the reason I'm speaking on eternal life here is because it's almost midnight. The curtain's almost about to close. And you know, in the natural, when they close the curtain, that means that the play is over. And here, from a spiritual standpoint, the time is almost over.
Amen. It is.
All the signs and the prophecies have been fulfilled.
Yes.
Even as I speak, it tells us that Jesus is soon to come.
Amen.
We don't know when he's going to come, and we don't know what he looks like, but we do know one thing, that when he comes back, we'll be like him.
Glory to God.
Because we'll see him as he is.
Amen.
And I want you to see him as he is. But the only way that you can see him as he is that you have to be like him.
Yes.
Praise God. You have to be one of his children. Amen. Because he's coming back for the second time. Matter of fact, in Hebrew 9 and verse 28 there, Minister Glory, would you just read that for a moment? Since that popped up in my spirit, because he's coming back a second time.
Yes.
Praise God, without sin.
So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many.
Yes, he did.
And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise God.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
The second time. So he's coming back. Are you looking for him today? There are folks that are even confessing, carrying a Bible, and they're going to church. The question is, are you looking for him?
Looking for him.
Amen. Is your mind on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, or is it just the mundane and humdrum way of life today where you just taking things as it is instead of occupying until he comes? This is what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
As children of God. We occupy until he comes. Praise God. Because we know that he's coming back.
Yes.
Praise God. And we're trying, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to speak to as many people as we can to tell them to get right with God, to be reconciled back to God. Praise the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. You have a verse of scripture you want to read?
Well, the first John.
Yes.
1 John 5. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Where it says, let me read 11. And 5, 1 John 5, 11. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And his Son is Jesus. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. So you will not go back with him if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because he's coming back for a church, a holy church, without a spot or wrinkle or blemish.
Well, he's speaking of eternal life. There are a lot of people that have life. They're walking about. But the sad part about it is that they have life. But they are condemned, and you don't have to be condemned. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can condemn you. But it tells us there that if you don't believe on him, that you are condemned already. You don't have to be condemned. You don't have to walk around with your grave clothes on. I say grave clothes. I'm talking about the same clothes that Lazarus had on to a certain extent there, grave clothes. You can get out of those grave clothes and get this white robe of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that's able to give you. I know I'm speaking to some people out there, and some of you may not even address the issue concerning salvation. You would say, well, I'm doing good. I don't hate anyone. I don't have problems with my neighbors. I don't commit murder, or I don't speak evil of people. All these things that one will say.
Self-righteousness.
Yes, they're operating in a state of self-righteousness. But that won't get you into the kingdom of God. The only one that will get you into the kingdom of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the door of the sheepfold. And the scripture tells us that if any man climbeth up any other way, he's a thief or a robber. You got to come through the door of the sheepfold. Isn't that wonderful, Mr. Gordon? Right.
Jesus said, he is the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, he's the only one that's able to allow us to come in, to go in and out of the sheepfold. Praise God. I pray today that you would have a desire, not through forcing or having someone to force you to make an acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, that is not love. If someone forces you, that's not love. You come on your own volition. You look at what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. This is what you take notice of. And when you do that, and you see that he suffered the shame and all of the griefs and sorrow, he took your place there on Calvary, then you make the decision whether you want to be with him throughout the ages of eternity. There are a lot of folks today, they have not heard about the Lord Jesus Christ in the truest sense. But I want to tell you, he loves you so much. Amen. This is why he went there on Calvary's cross to die for your sins. That's what he's done, die for my sins. Praise God. In 1 John 2 and verse 2, Minister Gloria, would you read that quickly so that we can get that verse of scripture in, because I want to let you know that he didn't die just for the righteous.
No. For he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world.
So the whole world lies in sin, and this is why not just the righteous. The scripture tells us that he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I want to extend this invitation to you. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, as we close this broadcast, it's vitally important that you hear these words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
But first, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, did you hear that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. Well, we thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning into the broadcast. The only thing I request at the leading of the Holy Spirit is that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. It's my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.